clip that on. Load for me. Hard to get it. Surely thank the Lord for that humble prayer, and felt it in my heart, and know that all good things come from the Lord and what the Lord has done. Sharon, you come get my phone. Mama's trying to call me. So I think my mom has forgotten we had meeting tonight, so she usually calls me just before 7 o'clock. So.
Where's your phone?
It's right there, and right here on there.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I knew we weren't going to get by without getting her, because yours would be next.
Yeah.
Y'all please pray for me tonight as I stand before you, that the Lord would supply what we need in a instructive way. It's important for God's little children to be fed, and God's little lambs and sheep need the food of the Word of God in order to nourish you and strengthen you in this world. We need instruction from God's Word. We know that the Lord is the chief shepherd, and we look to Him tonight to supply what we need as an under-shepherd that would feed you and be a benefit to you. And that's important, that we're looking to the Lord, and we need you to be praying that the Lord would just supply what we need tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you the 77th division of the Psalm, Psalm 77. And I'm going to read all 20 verses in your hearing tonight. Psalm 77, beginning at verse 1. It says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. And Asaph was a prophet and a minister that was called to serve as a son of Levi in the tabernacle. And he was one that was involved with the singer. He was a singer. He was a song leader in the old law, under the old law covenant. And he was also blessed. If you read Psalm 73, I think all the way to about Psalm 83, you'll see these were all psalms that were written by Asaph, or a psalm of Asaph. And I think also Psalm 50 is that way. And sometimes we think of the Psalms as all being written by David, but that's not so. Most of them, majority of them, written by David. But it, as we've said before, the author is really not as important. It's good to know who it is, and if it's given to us in the Word of God, the author, it's certainly something we need to know, but the author is not so important as to understand that every bit of God's Word is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's the author, and that it comes from God, and it's given to us for our instruction and for our learning. So we're thankful that the Lord moved this dear brother to pen these things down for us as He spoke, as the Holy Ghost moved. That's how he wrote. He wrote by the power that was given to him by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of old spake as they were moved of the Holy Ghost, and they penned these things down forth. All of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament is part of God's inspired word. It's given by inspiration of God. He says in Psalm 77, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit make diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path is in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. As I read this psalm, and as I read it, and I've been reading it and studying it today, last night, and many times before, but I thought tonight as I read it, it sounds almost like two different people were writing. It's almost like we read one part of this psalm and it sounds so discouraging and so depressing and so downcast. And then right in the middle of the psalm, there seems to be and is a change. And on the next part of it is everything is in trusting in the Lord and leaning upon the Lord and turning everything over to the Lord. It was almost like two different people were writing. It's like there was a conflict going on as we were reading this that was there that I think is so important for God's little children to know about. That there is that conflict that's going on in each and every one of us tonight. A battle, a warfare between the flesh and the spirit, between faith and unbelief, between trusting in God and or doubting God. And we have a nature. We have that which is in the flesh that leads us in a path of doubt and fear, that if we didn't realize and understand that, we may even question whether we are really God's or not, whether we really belong to Him or not. And that's why it's so good for us to be here tonight, to be at the house of God. That when we're troubled and when we're downcast and when we begin to question, we have some instruction given us in God's Word that we're not so far different than others of God's children. Even those that were moved, as I've already said tonight, by inspiration of God to pin down God's Word. This was written tonight for you and me, not only when we are cast down, but when we get lifted up. And it allows us to know and tells us where we come, where it tells us where we're to trust to find what we stand in need of. Psalm 77 says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. So that sounds like a wonderful verse where we are able to cry unto God. Isn't it good tonight to know that when we're in, he says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. You know, whatever trouble you're going through or whatever trouble we face in this world, it's a great blessing to know that we have the God of heaven that we can look to. Now, who is it that looks to the God of heaven? That's has to be a little child of grace that looks to the God of heaven. We're talking about a little child of grace. Who, as he writes here, he says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. And the reason that he could cry, he tells us over in Psalm 50, which is also a psalm of Asaph. He says in verse 15, the Lord says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Isn't that good news tonight? We got a Lord that we can call upon, and the promise is that when we call upon him, He will deliver us. And then he says, and thou shalt glorify me. It pleases God when we call upon him. It pleases the Lord to deliver us. And then it pleases the Lord when we praise him for the deliverance. In the first part of this, we see that dear brother in great trouble. So much so that he couldn't feel better even when he tried. You ever been there where you just couldn't feel better? You couldn't get over it. You were so down and so low, even when you call to mind things that where you felt the Lord's presence in times past, and where you remember the things that he'd written about in the Word of God and what he had done for others, and all of that, you still had that old flesh that was there, and that old sin of unbelief, that old sin that I think is, as the Hebrew letter says, and let me read that over in Hebrews 12:1. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. There are some things for us to lay aside tonight. And the sin which does so easily beset us. And there is a sin which does so easily beset us. And I believe that sin is the one this dear brother was dealing with here. That sin of unbelief, that sin of doubt that can so easily creep in. Remember the dear brother that when the Lord said, if thou believest, all things are possible to him that believe. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And that battle goes on in us. And you know how long that battle will go on in us? Until we are ready to leave this world, until it's time to leave this world. One day it's going to be over. One day we're not going to have to fight that battle anymore. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. But until that time comes, when the Lord returns, and our vile body is made like unto his body, and we're made perfect like him, we still are going to have this old flesh to contend with, and the battles are going to continue to rage. And sometimes in this world, you might get so low that it's almost like you can't feel better. When you feel that way, come read Psalm 77 and remember not only the first part, but make sure you finish the whole psalm. Read the entirety of it. He says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. He had faith to believe in God, and he was crying unto God. And he says, and he gave ear unto me. He felt like the Lord heard him. He felt that the Lord is indeed hearing me. He said, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. But he had to go through some dark times. You know, sometimes you and I have to go through some dark times. Sometimes we think, well, if I call upon the Lord, he's just going to take care of it and I'm going to feel better right away. Sometimes the Lord suffers us not to feel better right away, but to wait on the Lord and learn to trust him, learn to depend upon him. Sometimes we think, well, he'll just fix it. I'll call on him. He'll just fix it, as if God's at our beck and call, like whatever we think, whatever our idea would be about it. God's just waiting for us to tell him what to do so he can get it done. That's man's idea about the God of heaven. The God of heaven works his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased, and he's not going to answer our beck and call, because sometimes you and I just ask for the wrong things. We want something that was not in accord with God's will. And just like a good parent has to say to a child that they love, no, it's not pleasant, but it's necessary, and it shows that you love them. The Lord looks at us and says, no. Somebody said, does God answer all prayers? Absolutely. He answers all prayers, but sometimes his answer is no. Sometimes his answer is, you wait. Sometimes his answer is yes, when it's in accord with his will. But he always supplies just what he says in his word he will supply. And that is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He'll supply unto you everything that you stand in need of. As sure as he said, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. You can count on it. The deliverance is coming. That's why God's little children ought to keep right on calling. The brother had a lot of doubts and he had a lot of fears, but the Spirit was also working. Can you see that? Because he kept on crying. He kept on crying. He said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. It's not that the writer is just repeating himself for no reason. He's telling it. He's crying over and over and over again. Is it okay just to keep asking God when we don't get an answer right away? As a matter of fact, it's not only okay, it's what we're supposed to do. We're to put it in the Lord's hands, and you say, well, what if it doesn't come right away? Just keep on asking. Just keep on looking. Just keep on leaning. Don't go anywhere else. And you know, and here he says, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. Every day in a sense is the day of our trouble, but sometimes we sure can feel it, can't we? He says, my soul ran in the night. That means when I went to bed, my trouble didn't go away. It kept staying. It was right there. It was before me. Ever had something bothering you? Something in your family? Something going on in your life? Some circumstances that just has overwhelmed you and robbed you of your joy and your rest and your peace, and you just don't know what the answer is and you don't know what to do? And the old devil comes and says, well, if you were really, just like he said to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, he'll say to you, if you were really a child of God, you wouldn't have this problem. He'd just take care of that. He'd do this or he'd do that. Or you ought to do this or you ought to do that. One thing we ought not do is listen to what the old devil says. Whatever he says, I say to you, don't do it. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, be up and about. Do that. He says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. And then get this. My soul refused to be comforted. Now sometimes the things of the world will come to you and say, you come over here and you'll get a little comfort. You know, just come over here and do a little of this. You'll feel better. Go ahead and try a little of that. It'll make you feel better. You just need to go out and have a good time in this world and you'll feel better. And all of that, that's a comfort that your soul ought to refuse to take. Now, I don't want that kind of comfort. You know, you want the right kind of comfort, right? And that comfort comes when we listen to the Lord and we heed His Word and we wait on the Lord and we look to Him. And just as sure as sorrow is for the night, what's coming in the morning? Joy is going to come in the morning. Sorrow is just going to be for a season. Isn't it good to know we've got a God who's made promises to us that you and I can count on tonight, despite what the circumstances seem to be? When the children of Israel got out in the desert, they said, there's no water out here. I can't see it. I don't see any water, and we're thirsty, and we need something to drink, and it looks like we're just... And matter of fact, they thought they were just going to die. And the Lord had prepared for them everything that was necessary, not only on that occasion, but on every occasion. Sometimes they could see it, but other times they couldn't see it at all. When they saw that Red Sea and the Egyptian army behind them, surely they would have thought, this is it. This is going to be my end. Do you have those experiences in your life like I have in my life where I got to the place that I thought this was it and that was going to be the end and there was going to be no hope for me? And I got down and my soul refused to be comforted. Even when I came to the house of God and the preacher preached, I would say, well, I know that's okay for those Israelites in Egypt. I know they had this, but nobody knows, like the old spiritual, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows what I'm going through. I want to tell you tonight, the Lord of heaven knows every problem you've ever had, ever will have, and what you're going through right now. Whatever that is. And in this psalm, we're told there are going to be some times where you're going to not feel that. And you're going to think, well, I'm not going to make it. But the good news is, the psalm doesn't end in the middle. The psalm ends at the end. And at the end, we've got a victorious Savior. Listen, our life doesn't end in the middle. The Lord's going to carry us through whatever problems. Whether we're holding on to Him, He's going to hold on to you. He's not going to leave you. And so tonight, let's not hear the words of unbelief. But let's hear what faith says. Let's hear what the Word of God says. Let's heed that. He said, my soul refused to be comforted. When you sit at the house of God and you hear preaching, don't refuse to be comforted. When the good news is sounded, embrace that. When the Lord allows you to hear it, when He's given it to you, when He blesses the preacher to preach it, and it's coming to you, don't say, well, that couldn't be for me. Don't allow the devil to come and rob that from you either. You remember that there's a God who loved us to the extent that His love came all the way down to where you and I were, and it's just what we needed, and not, as the brother said tonight in his prayer, not what we deserve. And I'm thankful He didn't give us what we deserve, but I'm thankful His mercy and grace has been shown to us. And because of that, tonight, sinners like you and me who don't deserve Him can pray to Him, and He'll answer us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. He says, my sin, he says, I remembered God and was troubled. I remembered God and was troubled. Now you think a brother, a little brother in Christ remembering God ought not be troubled, but you know, sometimes when we remember God, we do get troubled because we feel like He's not the God of love. He's the God of judgment. That I've sinned and come short of His glory. And I have. And that He's going to pour His wrath out on me. But the good news of the gospel isn't that, it isn't scare ye my people. It's comfort ye my people. That God sent His only begotten Son because He loved you, not because He hated you. And that Jesus died on the cross to save you and deliver you. And though you deserve death, He bore that death in your room instead and paid that price you could not pay, so that you will never be separated from Him and you will never be outside of His grace, because He finished that work. He completed it. And so it's important that we're looking to the Lord, not just, He is that sovereign God that demand will not have one iota of fellowship with unrighteousness, but Jesus Christ came that we might be made accepted in the Beloved. He came that we'd have life and have it more abundantly. So tonight, you don't have to be afraid of Him. The devil would like you to be afraid of your Heavenly Father. He would like to divide you in any way he could from having fellowship and communion with Him. And our old nature is, you know, just contrary. We start having a little pity party about how this isn't going right, how that isn't going right. Brother Joe said today online, he said he'd had such trouble with he'd been having trouble. They put in a new Wi-Fi to speed up his internet service. He said, I haven't been bumped off the internet so much. And he said, and here I am getting ready to be on a meeting. And he says, and I've been kicked, told me yesterday, I've been kicked off more times, it seems like, since they made my internet better by making it worse. So, and there he was, you know, in that situation. And then he said, and then I start having a pity party about that and start thinking for just a minute how much the disciples and the apostles and the early church, how much trouble they went through. Sometimes you and I think, well, this, you know, this going to church is just too much trouble. We've got it too easy, brethren. We've got it too easy. We've taken too much for granted. And you know, and it may come a time, we kind of got a little taste of that with the pandemic, where we're not just able to get up and go like we were, and it wasn't necessarily safe for us to meet like we were had been meeting. And oh, how we missed it. I missed it. Didn't you miss it? I missed it. Being able to be with my brethren and see them face to face and hug their necks and do what we're doing tonight in person. I miss that. And yet the Lord, even in that, blessed us. And even as we went through that, I've got fellowship in my life tonight with brethren I would have probably never known had I not gone through some of that. And I learned to appreciate. Listen, I appreciate in-person meetings now a whole lot more than I used to. And I thought I really appreciated them. But I learned how much I missed them when I couldn't come. And it's just a blessing tonight to be able to see those of you that are here. He said, I remembered God and was troubled. That's bad when a little child of grace gets in that kind of unbelief. But sometimes we do. We get afraid to see Him. You know, afraid to see his people. Almost some get afraid even about coming to church because they feel that conviction. And yet, where should, and the devil would like to keep us that way, because if we can keep you from eating, if he can keep you from eating the food that you need, you're not going to be healthy as a little child of grace. If he can keep you from listening and thinking God is angry and is going to just throw you to the curb and let you even think, I'm too unworthy to go. I'm too... Listen, little child of grace, this is the only... Where could I go but to the Lord? And he already knows what we are. And what we are is not pretty in and of ourselves. He loved us when we were yet his enemies. He loved us when while we were yet sinners. He sent his only begotten Son into this world to save us in our most destitute and depraved condition. And how shall, if he did all that for us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. That, I believe that meant he just kept praying. I kept praying to the Lord. Sometimes my prayers may have sounded like complaints. I'm saying, Lord, help me. You've been there where you just want to feel better and can't feel better. Want to get over it and can't get over it. Sometimes I feel like this is not working. This praying thing is not working. Listen, no, you keep on keeping on. Listen, there's no place else to go. There's no other help. There's no other help for you, and there's no other help you need. Y'all believe that tonight, don't you? I hope you believe it. Read the rest of the psalm. It'll help you. If you're stuck somewhere in the middle, keep on reading. He says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You ever been there? And then this little word, Selah, that I mentioned the other night, but it keeps popping up. Selah pops up. And just think about this. Think about it. Tonight, let's not just go through the Bible, read it, and say, okay, good enough, let's go on home, and we got something. Let's let it sink in to where it impacts the way we act and think and believe. Think about this. He says, thou holdest mine eyes waking. Thou, in that verse 4, is trouble. Trouble can keep you from sleeping. You ever had trouble keep you from sleeping? I think most of us had. And you know who can give us sleep? The Lord can give us. He gives his beloved sleep. That's what he said. He giveth his beloved sleep. Right in the midst of the trouble. I think of many incidences, many occurrences. You know, when the Lord was about to deliver Peter, I believe, from the prison, Peter went to sleep between two soldiers. he was sleep enough that the angel had to shake him to wake him up. Now, you just think about that. Now, what was going to happen to Peter in his mind? Well, his mind was, I'm about to die in the morning. And I'm here and I'm in prison for preaching the gospel and I'm about to die. James has already lost his life. They've already taken the life of James. So I've seen that happen. And I know where my lot is coming in the morning. They're just waiting for that time in the morning for that to happen. And so what did he do? I'd have been sitting there worried to death. He falls asleep. He's sleeping. How did he have that? The Lord blessed him. Remember the other night, a little while back, Brother James Carlock preached a whole sermon on sleep and how the Lord grants sleep. And what a blessing that was to hear how the Lord does that. Listen, there are sometimes trouble keeps us awake, and I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Sometimes trouble gets you so you can't talk. Somebody says, what's wrong with you? And you can't even tell them. It's just so bad, I can't talk. He says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I've looked at my scripture. I've looked back and how the Lord's taken care of his people. And yet I'm refusing to be comforted. He says, I called to remembrance mine song in the night. What that means is he was singing songs at one time in the past. And he remembered those times. And it was such a blessing to him. So he thought, I'll just try that again. And just was cold. You ever had songs that at one time moved you so much that when you sing them now, because of sometimes the great trouble you're in, it just doesn't move you. Just falls short. He says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. He said, I commune with mine own heart. That's a dangerous thing to do. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. In other words, I just need to find a way to feel better. I just need to get better. And then he asks these questions. And listen to unbelief. Listen to the questions. Will the Lord cast off forever? First of all, do you believe the Lord's ever cast off his people for one moment? Has he? What does faith tell you? Faith tells you that he'll never what? He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. That's what faith tells you. But then unbelief says, I've been cast off. Like I'm there now and he's going to keep me here. I'm going to be cast off forever. Will the Lord, and I'm making complaint. Here's his complaint. Will the Lord cast off forever? He goes on and he says, and will he be favorable no more? That says he's been favorable. I can see where he has blessed me. I've had that song in the night. I had past times when he was right with me, but I can't feel it. That's what the brethren were talking about today. The church meetings just don't seem as warm as they used to be. The preaching just doesn't seem as warm as it used to be. The songs don't seem as lively as they used to be. I used to remember when the house was full, and now we only have a few. I used to remember when everybody seemed to be warm, and now it seems to be so cold. Now listen, the problem is not with God. The problem is not with God. And even in that case, I'll tell you where I found sweet meetings. It's not the house has to be full. I wish the house was full. But it's where two or three of God's little children are gathered together to worship the Lord. And I can feel His presence. When I feel His presence, I have everything that I stand in need of, whether I'm in the pulpit or in the pew. And when I can't feel Him, it doesn't matter who else is here. It wouldn't matter if we had 10 preachers lined up to preach. If we didn't have the Lord's presence here, this would be an empty place. And if the Lord is with us, He can take one little preacher, maybe the one you didn't even want to have here, and He can bless him to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit and feed you. And if the Lord has called you to do something, He'll give you the grace and the ability to do it, so that the glory and the honor and the praise would belong to the Lord. He says, will the Lord cast off forever and will He be favorable no more? Will God's grace ever leave His people? And the answer to that is absolutely not. As a matter of fact, if His mercy would fail one moment, we sons of Jacob would be consumed. His compassions fail not. The Lord our God changeth not. We can count on that. He does not change. If He's ever been favorable to you, you belong to Him, and He's favorable to you, even if He's coming with chastisement and correction, even if for a moment He draws His presence from you so that you might see how it is not to be with Him and to be more appreciative of what it is to really have communion and fellowship with the Lord. He says, will the Lord cast off forever and will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Listen, it would be a hot place right now if His mercy was clean gone forever. It's His mercy that has kept me out of hell even this very moment. It's His mercy that's taken care of me. It's His mercy that blessed this brother to write it so that you and I could read it right here. Do you think God knew that we were going to need this tonight? When He moved this brother to pin it down a long time ago, you say, do you think God works in that kind of detail? I don't think there's a molecule on planet Earth that God didn't make individually and just for the purpose that it's made. And I believe He works in our lives. I'm not saying tonight that means He predestinates everything that happens. We don't believe that. What I am saying to you very clearly and plainly, that God is on His throne and He providentially takes care of His little children in this world. And you're not alone. No matter how much trouble you feel like you might be in, His mercy is not clean gone. Does His promise fail forevermore? Can one of the promises of God fail? No, not one. How many promises will God have? Every promise that our God has made will be kept, and He cannot fail, no more than He can change. He has the power to keep His promises, and He's God. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Oh, has God forgotten to be gracious? God doesn't forget. And He's full of grace and He's full of mercy. Has God run out of mercy? His mercy endured for what? Forever. It says, "Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" No wonder this dear brother, when he remembered God, was still troubled, because unbelief and doubt had so wrapped him up that his sense of God and his idea and thoughts about God were warped. Our thoughts about God ought to be aligned with what the Word of God says. Our thoughts about God ought to be in line with the gospel, the good news of grace. Our thoughts about God ought to be in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We ought to think about how we have fellowship with Him through what Jesus did for us, that we have been made accepted in the Beloved, that in Jesus we have forgiveness of sins. In Jesus we've been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And in Jesus we are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus we have the promise of heaven. And in Jesus, the one who died for us will also with Him freely give us all things. And then we can start reading the rest of this and what it says. I'm not going to take a long time with it. It says, verse 11, he says, verse 10, I wanted to get, he says, and I said, get this word, this is my infirmity. You want to know what his problem was? Here's my infirmity. That is my unbelief. And when I'm in trouble in this world, it's not that we don't have problems. It's not that we don't have cares. But we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And when we fail to do that, this is my infirmity. This is my sin, that I'm not trusting and leaning upon the Lord. May the Lord help us tonight to trust and lean upon Him. And then he goes on and he says, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. The right hand of the Most High is talking about the power of Almighty God. And I will remember, I'll call to mind, I'll call to memory how the Lord's power has been in my life and how He's taken care of me through all of the storms and the problems of life. He said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also on all of all thy works and talk of thy doings. That's what we're doing tonight, talking about what the Lord's done. That makes you feel better, doesn't it, when you hear about what the Lord's done? Don't refuse to be comforted. You know, embrace what He's done. Be reconciled to God. He's reconciled you unto Himself. Be reconciled to God. He says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now, the sanctuary is the Lord's house, the church of the living God. It's the place where God manifests His presence. It's the place where we're taught His Word. It's the place where we sing hymns that honor and glorify Him. It's a place where we come together as God's little children and exhort one another daily to trust and lean upon the Lord and not be overwhelmed by all of your troubles. It'll be better for you than any medication or anything else that you can take in order giving you peace and rest in this world. Thanks be to God, we have a place that He's provided in His church. And He says, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? The same writer that just wrote all of those questions comes and says, who is so great? Here's this question. Here's faith talking. Who is a God like our God? The same writer. God's little children, when we're in unbelief, boy, we're a mess. When we walk by faith, we can truly do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He says, who is so great a God as our God? Verse 14, Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And then he says that little word again, Selah. Think about this. In other words, consider how great and merciful and wonderful our God is. And then he went on and talked about the deliverance, I believe, of the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt through the Red Sea. He says, the water saw thee, O God, the water saw thee. They were afraid. What trouble was the Red Sea to the Lord? Their waters had to go. He caused them to stand up in heaps on both sides. I mean, they went through dry shod. And he says, the clouds poured out water, and the sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. This is the God that we serve. You know, just see his power in a thunderstorm. Just think about how it can just cause you to go, wow. You know, what a fireworks show the Lord can put on when he gives us a thunderstorm. How he can send the lightning out of heaven, how he can send the rain, the power of God we see in his work. He said, the voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. And the Lord moves, and we marvel. The Lord works, and none can let it. None can stay his hand. He says, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I just pray the Lord to help us to look at our lives and walk and live in faith, trusting in this great God who has promised to take care of his children. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And whatever trouble, whatever problem we're going through, may the Lord bless us to by faith lean and trust and depend upon him. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.
528.
I saw it on my...
I figured you did. I just sent her a text.
My Apple Watch is a blessing and a curse. I've got to figure out how to cut that.
Here's what I found.
Oh, I see.
Don't talk to it.
:528. We'll stand and sing, Where Could I Go But to the Lord? Public Open Door of the Church, with this church or any sister church is represented, if there be one or more here. Of a desire to take up the cross and follow the Lord in baptism, we give you that opportunity to let your feelings be made known as we stand and sing 528. Where could I go? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford, striving along to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where?
I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Acts 12, verse 6 says, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands." He wasn't sitting there worried about what was going on. He's asleep. Lord, take your care of him. You're talking about trouble. That would have been trouble if it had been one of us there. And there he was resting. Now, you know what that is? That's the sleep God can give. And what a blessing that is. Yeah. Arise and go on. Get it smoted. That's right. Can see it. Can't you see it? Yeah. The church is there praying for him too, you know. Church praying for him when he shows up. They don't believe it's him. Except for a little sister named Rhoda.
But she didn't even let him in.
She didn't let him in. But she heard him. She knew it was Peter, and she went to tell him, "It's Peter, it's Peter." They said, "No, it must be his angel." couldn't be Peter. She knew it was Peter. What was different about her and the rest of them, though? You know, she was at least listening to. Yeah, anyway, that's a lot there. It's time for us to enter into our conference meeting. We're going to ask Brother Terry to lead us in a word of prayer. We invite all our brothers and sisters, the sister churches, setting conference with us, and our friends to observe our business. Call for the peace of the church. Is there anything that would be affecting the peace of the body that would hinder us from entering into conference? I'm thankful we are at peace. Pray that the Lord would continue to bless us with that. And ask Brother Terry, if you would, lead us in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on our conference meeting.
Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we're saying words that we go through. Father, you created us. You created everything that's around us. Give us everything we need. Lord, there is nowhere else to go, Lord. We're so grateful that it's by thy grace that you so lovingly bring us to yourself, Father. And it's you that brought us to you, Father. Not us to you, but it's you, Lord. And you've given us grace, your love, and mercy, Father. Lord, we just thank you for the time we spend here together, Lord, as we come out of the world in trouble, Lord, Lord. Lord, we pray for those hit by that tornado, Lord, that is in that town devastated, Lord. We ask that you be with them, Father. Lord, as we come to our meeting, we seek your guidance, Father. We ask again for the peace of the church, Lord, and that our eyes will always be focused on you, and that candle, Lord, will always remain here until our Lord and Savior comes again. Lord, we do thank you, though we do not great number, Lord. We thank you for the love that's shared here in this church, Lord Father. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Appreciate that, Brother Terry. Thank the Lord for you. First item of business would be the reading of our minutes by our clerk.
Saturday, February
25th, 2023. Services open with singing. Brother Terry Sylvester offer prayer. Our pastor, Elder Gary, preached from Psalm 101-5, Psalm 107-1-7, and 1 Corinthians 15-1-6. Brother Gary opened conference with prayer. All present were members. The peace of the church is called for. The minutes of previous meetings were read and approved. The treasurer report was given. There was no old business. Under new business, we voted to go back to 6 in the evening, starting the 3rd Sunday in March. Time change for daylight saving time is the 2nd Sunday in March. Conference for March will be at 6 p.m. Communion is the last Sunday of March. Motion was made, second and passed, to adjourn. Brother Terry Sylvester dismissed services with prayer. 4th Sunday, February 26, 2023. Services open with singing. Brother Terry Sylvester offered prayer. Our pastor, Elder Gary, preached from John 21:1-6 and John 10:27-28. Brother Hunter Cox dismissed services with prayer. 1st Sunday, March 5, 2023. Services open with singing. Brother Charles Sutton offered prayer. Our pastor, Elder Gary, preached from Hebrews 13:15. Brother Terry Sylvester dismissed services with prayer. 2nd Sunday, March 12, 2023. Services open with singing. Brother Charles Sutton offered prayer. Our pastor, Elder Gary, is preaching 2 Timothy 2, 1-10, 2 Corinthians 11:23-27, and 2 Corinthians 3, 5-6. Brother Hunter Cox dismissed services with prayer. 3rd Sunday, March 19, 2023, services up the same. Brother Michael Minsky offered prayer. Our pastor, Elder Gary, preached from Matthew 4, 1-4. Brother Bobby Jackman dismissed services with prayer. Elder Gary, moderator, Brother Chase, Best Treasure, Sister Sharon, who's clerk, and Sister Sarah Salt, assistant judge, and assistant clerk.
Heard the reading of the minutes. Are there any additions, corrections that need to be made? Not, we entertain a motion that be approved as read. Motion's made, seconded. All in favor, show by the uplifted hand. Any opposed, like sign. Anything else that you have to read, Sister Sharon? We have a treasurer's report then, Brother Terry.
$8,870.85. February 27th, we put a deposit of $220. March 22nd, Town of Front Royal, $144.90, leaving us a balance of $8,945.95. Short and sweet.
Okay. Any questions about the financial report? All right. Any old business? Don't remember hearing any. Any new business? I like these kinds of meetings. Hearing no old or new business, is there anything we need to bring up? Not then all minds are clear. Someone make a motion to adjourn. Motion's made and seconded. All in favor, show by the uplifted hand. Any opposed, like sign. Okay. We'll look to the Lord and dismiss you. Let's thank Brother Hunter. You dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly God, thank you once again for just letting us to be meeting here again today, dear Lord, and just keep us safe throughout our travels, and when we go home, and keep us just living close to you, dear Lord, and walking with you, and having you in mind each and every day, and following your word, and following what you would like us to do, and help us to be more loving, like the way that you love, dear Lord. Help us to just keep you in our hearts, dear Lord. We'd like to ask you just remember the ones on the list again, and remember this nation and the brothers and sisters all around the world, dear Lord.
Yes, Father.
And just keep us in your hearts, dear Lord. Thank you for sending down Jesus to die on the cross for his sin debt, dear Lord. And all this we ask in the precious and holy name of Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate it.
Yeah, but the temperature's dropped outside because I just picked up. Can you go? We thought she was going to be gone for a little while, but she was gone all day because every everything went haywire. She had to end up teaching and going over all her stuff. I told her, I said, well, you already earned another day that they should take you back. But she didn't get to back to the house till 4:30 and she dropped the kids off at 7 o'clock that morning. So I was like, but we got along with both of them.
I did all right.
Well, we're getting along. Yeah, we're getting along. Well, Elliot is...
It's a lot harder.
Oh, Elliot. Elliot, that's the little one. Yeah. Elliot has... Elliot is... She's breastfeeding, so now she's been trying to break him in by giving him Bible's partner. So that's been a difficult... And I said, you got to do this a lot for us because I said, we don't want him right with him not. So he's getting better at it.
The first day she left him with the bottle.
It was like,
no way.
We had a terrible time because we couldn't get, you know, I mean.
We didn't need to check.
No, and she said, well, this is a new bottle. I said, oh, my gosh, you got a new bottle.
Don't do that to me.
So he's better. He's getting better.
But it's going to be,
she's going to cry her eyes out because she did.
But that paper was always by the bed.
She knew comfort her milk. The paper was black. She
poured
it
all.
Hey, Gary. Gary. Does Brother Terry need this? He left that up.
Brother
there.
Terry.
Phone. Where is
his recorder?
I'll run it to it.
It's probably still recording.
I think it is. Oh, but I just saw
the recorder. Yeah.
You tell him he's gonna have to do some editing on this one.
You better. We were talking.
You're gonna have
about
to tell him. You're gonna have to tell him he needs to do some editing on this one. Don't want all of that.
It's
online.
Still recording.
Yeah,
yes.
I think it is.
Never cut off.
I don't know how to cut it off.
And I didn't hit a button because I was afraid I hit a race.
That's me. That's me. I have a knack for that. How many things have I done already? No.
Are you gonna have to get home by moonlight?